Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Wonderla Biotech Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. This call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. Today on the call, we have Mr. Hitesh Vindalas, Managing Director, Ms. Komal Gupta, CEO and CFO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Vindalas. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our financial results for quarter and year ended 31st March 2025. We have uploaded the press release and investor presentation on our website as well as on the exchanges. I hope everybody must have gotten an opportunity to go through it. Initially, I would like to discuss the outlook and way forward for Wonderla Biotech, followed by financial highlights for Q4 and FY25 of the company, which will be shared by our CEO and CFO, Ms. Komal Gupta. The Indian pharma market registered a YoY growth of 8.4% in FY25, largely driven by price increases, with volume growth of 0.4%. We are pleased to report another quarter of strong performance of revenue growth of 20% YoY for FY25 and 18% YoY in quarter four of FY25. Our generic formulation CDMO vertical continued to benefit from new customer additions and a broader product portfolio. The trade generics and institutional vertical maintained its growth momentum through wider market penetration and institutional engagement. The company continues to work towards the initiatives in export verticals, such as filing of numerous dossiers and entry into newer markets. Our proactive investments in quality systems, infrastructure, and digital transformation continue to position us strongly with respect to Schedule M compliance. We have begun utilizing Plant 2 extension in quarter four FY25, which gives us the required room for growth in the upcoming period. Our injectable facility has been approved by several large customers, and few injectable products made by us have been commercialized by our CDMO as well as the trade generics verticals. We continue to augment our manufacturing network through modernization and retrofit of our recently acquired Plant 6 oral solids facility as per plan. The company achieved its highest-ever earnings per share in FY25, ₹29.19, post our listing. In line with our dividend policy, the company paid 11.5 crores, ₹5.5 per share dividend related to FY24, and proposed the dividend of ₹12.1 crores, ₹5.8 per share related to FY25. Looking ahead, we remain focused on enhancing long-term value for shareholders through diversification of our client base, increasing operational efficiency, retaining and rewarding key talent, and expansion of dosage forms. I will now request Ms. Komal Gupta, our CEO and CFO, to discuss the financial performance highlights. Over to you, Komal.
Thank you, Hitesh. Good morning, everyone. We are pleased to conclude FY25 with strong performance across key metrics: ₹759 crores revenue, a 20.4% YoY growth, ninth straight quarter of record revenue, ₹202.7 crore, 18.3% YoY growth, highest-ever EPS of ₹29.19 post-listing, working capital days at 14, sustained ROCE and ROE greater than 20% alongside capacity expansion projects, and strong liquidity of ₹213 crores. We have sustained our operating margins reflecting our robust financial management. Despite an increase in depreciation, largely attributable to injectables facility and plant 2 extension. PAT stood at rupees 61 crores for FY25 and 16.3 crores for Q4 FY25 as compared to 58.2 crores and 17 crores for FY24. EBITDA grew by 20% YOY to 94.1 crore for FY25 and 16% YOY to 25.5 crores for Q4 FY25. India's pharmaceutical industry ranks as the third largest globally by volume. Our state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities in Dehradun strengthen our ability to deliver high-quality, scalable solutions to meet the evolving demands of the market. Vindlas is strategically positioned to capture growth through diversified presence across its core verticals. In generic formulation CDMO vertical, we continue to direct our efforts towards sustained client engagement, new client acquisitions, new product launches, and higher wallet share from current partners. This vertical recorded 15% YOY increase in FY25 to 555.1 crore. For Q4 FY25, this vertical generated 147.2 crores in revenue, witnessing a 15% YOY growth. Trade generics and institutional vertical is driven by portfolio expansion, broader distribution and institutional network, also supported by government-driven initiatives. Our trade generics and institutional vertical continued its growth momentum in FY25 with revenue surged to 172.1 crores, marking a 41% YOY increase. For Q4 FY25, revenue increased to 45.5 crores, registering 31% growth YOY. Exports vertical reported revenue of 32.6 crores in FY25, a 19% increase YOY, with Q4 FY25 showing a revenue of 10 crores, reflecting 12% growth YOY. In conclusion, FY25 has been a year of meaningful progress for Vindlas, anchored by consistent growth, resilient margins and strategic execution. These results underscore the strength of our business fundamentals and clarity of our vision. As we look ahead, we remain confident in our ability to seize emerging opportunities and deliver enduring value to all our stakeholders. That's all from our side. We can now begin the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh and Komal, if you can talk about the injectable, plant. It's almost been a year since we started this plant, and now the validations have been completed. The product approvals are also coming through. We have started the commercial supplies both on the CDMO as well as trade generic side. So if you can talk about, how do you see FY26 and FY27 panning out? We have incurred quite a bit of fixed cost over here, employee costs, other expenses, as well as depreciation. So how should we look at the numbers in FY26 and 27 for this those new doses from that we have entered?
Sure, Ankit. Let me add some perspective and then maybe we'll dwell upon this one. See, for this FY25, we identified a portfolio of products, for our injectable and our vial lines and lyophilized vials, and we had the task of taking all these products as stability batches to test out how the manufacturing is happening, the stability profile, We also had the task of completing media fill and getting our WHO GMP licenses, both of which are important, you know, requirements for commercialization to CDMO partners as well as initiating the other business development activities. And in Q4, largely we saw, you know, whatever revenue that we saw in injectables. Although we don't give, you know, dosage form wise revenue, but we promised earlier that we will come back and, you know, provide some feedback on this at the end of the year. The incremental depreciation for related to injectables facility was rupees 145 million in the last year. And the revenue generated, which I mentioned, was largely from Q4 FY25 for injectable products for us, is about 6 crores. Now, we are in the process of obviously ramping up. And as I mentioned in my remarks, this involves the audits and approvals by large customers who are already buying oral solids from us and various products. And also it involves product-wise audit of each of the stability data dossiers that we have now prepared. So we are looking to ramp up, and obviously our goal is to achieve that in the fastest possible way. So we are on the job and, you know, expecting to build this business strongly in the future. Exactly how and when and what will we be able to achieve, that is something that we are, you know, not discussing, although obviously we have internal targets for everything. So that's, Komal, if you want to add something.
No, I think you have covered it. Just a small technical correction. 145 million is our overall increase in depreciation, which is majorly attributable to injectables and plant to extension depreciation.
Sure, sure. So, Hitesh and Komal, if you can talk about, you know, do you think, you know, we can end this year, let's say, in the second half, with a capacity utilization of 50-60% at the injectable unit, and do we see breaking even on this facility in this financial year, or breaking even both at EBITDA as well as on the PBT level? If you can talk about, do you think we can break even in FY26, or we should look forward to FY27 only?
If it was completely in, you know, we would want that to happen as soon as possible, honestly. When exactly and how much revenue we expect or how much capacity utilizations we expect, as we have maintained in the past, you know, we say that it's difficult for us to give that information because it gives away a lot of competitive advantage for us. So we won't be able to give that. Having said that, we would like to mention that we are really putting all our efforts in, and we are having, you know, seeing a few good wins coming in, and we stay confident to really, you know, to really deliver to everyone's expectations. Just when allow us some time to, you know, to let you see that happening instead of us saying something and trying to, you know, then justify 1 month here or there.
Sure. And do you think, you know, we have also started selling trade generics in the injectables. So given it's a smaller facility for us compared to our overall OSD facility, do you think trade generics will become a bigger portion of our sales here, or CDMO will continue to be around 70-75% of our sales in injectables also?
Yeah,
it should be roughly similar, you know, just because of the base size of the business. But I do believe that, you know, eventually even the plant that we have put is for meeting the standards of PICs and export markets. And, you know, our goal has always been to, you know, provide these products into those markets, because that's where the real margin, you know, will come. So although that is again a little bit later, because you have to get plant approvals by regulatory authorities and then dossier approvals in those countries. So, you know, our goal eventually is that, you know, initially it may, we don't have any reason to expect that, you know, catering from this facility will be very different in proportion. But longer term, we do want to prioritize exports more, because we believe that's where the stronger margin opportunities will come. And of course, we also obviously have ability to not to also do capacity expansion within this plant, you know, so we don't see that trade-off as hitting our, you know, capacity issue. So we have to take it step by step though.
The last question before I come back in the queue. On the employee cost and...
Mr. Ankit?
Sure, I'll come back.
I request you to return to the queue, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning everyone. So my first question to the team is that, you know, if we go and rewind a couple of years back, maybe 2-3 years back, I think the idea was that as the trade generics and export grows, our gross margin will be better in trade generics and export, and hence that will flow through to the bottom line or EBITDA level. Now, you know, if I look at the numbers in terms of proportion, trade generics have moved from 10% to 23%, and you know, even our gross margin have expanded by a couple of 100 basis points. But despite that, our EBITDA has, you know, remained at 12-13% range. So, you know, so how should we look at it? And is it primarily because of the cost of injectable plants coming in? That's how we should see it. The moment, you know, that cost gets absorbed, we should see that coming through. If you can spend some time on that.
Yeah, more or less you are right. In fact, there has been, other than injectable business, there has been, you know, we have been able to deliver very good growth in terms of the EBITDA, even as a percentage of revenue. So injectables, as everyone is aware, might take some time to ramp up, but this year's P&L, FY25, if we see, even if I keep, you know, OPEX of injectables in and just remove the additional depreciation coming in from injectables and plant extension, our PBT margins have actually, PBT PAT margins have improved. That is one. And as you were specifically talking about EBITDA, Dhwanil, EBITDA margins have also improved if we take out the injectables OPEX. We can't give out the number as such, but as Hitesh mentioned, in only mainly Q4 only we had the revenue coming in, and that too not a, so in total 6 crores revenue is what we could do just from injectables.
Actually, also one more thing I want to add, Dhwanil. See, this year was, while you correctly mentioned, you know, a couple of years ago when we had talked about this, the operating leverage for growth we are expecting, and we are seeing also. In fact, what I want to point out is that this year, the minimum wage increase in Uttarakhand was very massive, almost 25%, right? So that's something that was obviously cannot be predicted. But despite that, we have increased overall production. We have used more manpower, right, obviously to do that. But still we added injectable OPEX and added plant to extension OPEX in Q4 and still maintained our margin. So, you know, in some sense, we have actually completely accomplished what we were talking about and even absorbed some of these additional impact.
Got it.
Got it. Going forward into FY26, since most of the costs are behind and I assume that the injectable will quarter on quarter will continue to ramp, though you are not giving any guidance on specific numbers. As this cost gets absorbed and the trade generics and export proportion grows, should we see the margin expansion coming through in FY26 and FY27? That's how we should look at it?
Ultimately, margin expansion should come. We don't want to specifically mention when, but obviously, given everything on plate, margin expansions have to come.
Yeah, I also want to just add a small this thing that the as we have said in the past also that we sometimes have had quarters where we've had very strong growth and sometimes have had quarters where, I'm talking about trade generics for instance, or exports. We have to look at this in the overall picture, we are very optimistic and very gung-ho about the future also, that is why we are expanding plant 6, adding capacities and doing all this. So we are very, very confident that despite overall IPM volumes being so slow, we have delivered almost 9 quarters of very strong results, and we see, the path forward as well. And while it's difficult to guide on quarter or business part-wise, but we are on the whole very, very optimistic, and we continue to do that.
Thank you. There's just one question on export. Trade generics we have done exceptionally well in last 3-4 years. While on export, we have guided that the growth will be back-ended. But it's been 3 years, and I think all the regulatory filings and timelines, etc. I think we should be now seeing some steep growth in export is what I understand from, from whatever things have happened so far. Is that, again, right way to look at it? Do you guys see traction in that in terms of filings, entry into newer markets? How do you guys think about export market?
So we have delivered a 5-year CAGR of about 25%, right? We have delivered a year of 32 CR revenue this year, and it looks like it's a 19% growth. But we remain very optimistic about the opportunity in the target market. And we continue to file dossiers to build the base for upcoming periods. So we are saying that, we are optimistic, but as you rightly mentioned, it takes time to build the business in exports. Many of the opportunities are like binary opportunities. But yeah, we stay positive, and we are expecting exports also to slowly become become an important vertical for us.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue. I have more questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neelam Punjabi from Purple Chitty. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity, and firstly, congratulations on some great set of numbers over the last year. My first question is on the trade generics vertical. So we've, demonstrated phenomenal execution with doubling of revenues over the last 2 years, and we've almost tripled revenues over the last 3 years. So I just wanted to understand, at this current scale of, annualized 200 crores, are we among the top 10 trade generics companies in India?
So thanks, Neelamji, first of all, for acknowledgement of the good performance. I think that, if you see the largest ones, companies like Cipla and Alchem, will be the largest, so there are some unlisted competitors who are going to be the next range, and we are still, we are 1/10 of their size. So unfortunately, there is not enough data about trade generics, and it's not really covered by the the data agencies like IQVIA or AIOCD. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say for us. From our perspective, we really look at trade generics as a very strong space, and there is no reason why Vindlas should also not aspire to reach the levels at which Cipla and Alchem are today. They are 2,000 plus crores. So why shouldn't a good manufacturer like us, who has the opportunities, who understands the products and is able to build sustainably, they can be plus minuses the changes, but I don't see any reason why we cannot eventually grow to become as strong as that.
Makes sense. That's good to know. And my second question is on our working capital cycle. So, we are at a very efficient level of 14 days. But at the same time, our peers are, listed peers at least, are in that 80 to 100 days kind of a level. So I just wanted to understand how are we being able to maintain such healthy working capital cycle, and is this sustainable going forward?
We would probably like to give credit to the financial discipline that we have been internally maintaining. Top to bottom, everyone is kind of conscious in our organization relating to any decisions. So how it impacts working capital or how it impacts liquidity is, I think, almost everyone while taking a decision doesn't forget to consider that impact, Neelam. Other than that, the market, of course, remains same. Those vendors, customers, and how this works. In terms of sustainability, we would like to sustain that. We have maintained these kind of working capital levels for 2 years in a row, and we would love to sustain. But of course, completely, it's not internally. If there is an impact, otherwise there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to do it.
Got it. And just one last bookkeeping question. So our depreciation for the quarter was 8.3 crores. So is this the highest level? Like, as in, are we going to sustain this, or would it further increase in the next year as well on a quarterly basis?
Until plant 6 gets capitalized, these depreciation levels should be sustainable. Because this has complete plant to extension depreciation for the quarter and injectables depreciation. So that's why if you are comparing it with Q3 or Q2, there would be increase that has come in because of the plant to extension capitalization that happened by end of Q3.
Got it. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinish Barman from Vaik Arya. Please proceed.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. First question was on the volume growth. Can you give us some indication on how did your volumes grow in this quarter and the full year?
No, Avinish, we are not generally providing this information. But for us, we are a cost-plus business, and assuming that typically our conversion costs remain so, most of the growth is typically volume-linked only.
Okay, okay. And Hitesh, your injectable plant capex is 75. I remember in, I think, one of the last calls, you had mentioned an asset turns of about 1.1 to 1.2. Which is starkly less than what you make on the oral side, where the gross asset turns are close to about 3. So why is there so much difference? And is it safe to assume that the better margins in the injectable business result in similar kind of ROC on the plant?
See, if you look at industry, companies which are pure injectables, maybe they are a good proxy to assess what has been the historical performance, and my number of 1.1 or 1.2 asset turn comes from companies like those. Now, as you go into export markets, especially the slightly higher fixed markets, then again, you know, that number improves. So the asset turn is dependent on the markets you are serving, the products profile that you are manufacturing, and the like, you know, whether it is CMO or your own brand and so on. In general, still, I would say that the gross margin profile in injectables is higher, but also the fixed cost or running OPEX is also higher because you have a higher degree of air handling units and continuous running 24/7, you cannot shut down, microbial control and all those things because of the sensitive nature of dosage form, but your manpower costs are lower. So there is a difference in terms of the you know, how this asset versus other dosage forms will look. My sense is that probably some pure play injectable companies would be better proxies to get you know, confident data on.
Yeah, so some of the pure play companies actually do report higher margins. So that's why I was asking, you know, when the asset turns are a little lower and the margins are a little higher, do we make similar ROCs on an oral plant versus an injectable plant?
In terms of ROC, once we start delivering, once we start selling to exports and start making those kind of margins, where then bigger portion of injectable sales is to exports, then ROC should be similar or even better.
Okay. Last one, typically in an oral plant, we have seen that the peak utilization for any oral plant is close to about 70%, and it happens in like 5-6 years. Now, I know you're not, you know, guiding for the capacity utilization on a yearly basis, but generally, will the injectable plant follow similar kind of path, or we should assume like a faster kind of run rate?
So, I mean, we are not commenting on the run rate at all, right? But if you are asking whether in the peak state of, let's say, asset turn of 1.2, what would be the utilization level at that state, right? If that is the question, then my sense is that injectable utilization can be, you know, slightly higher. So, you know, 75% might be possible. It also depends on the product mix and number of changeovers one is incurring because that basically adds the dead time. So, you know, we kind of have to take, you know, these utilization numbers with that pinch of salt.
Yeah, sorry. Please go ahead.
No. I think that's all right. I thought that he's trying to understand whether the injectable peak levels would be reached by when. Would it take?
Sorry, we are not, you know, providing that.
I understand. Thank you. This was helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. Before I take the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Pavan Kumar from Ratnatraya Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, sir, can you give us what is the kind of capacity utilization on orals right now? And I'm assuming the plant 6, when it comes on, when is it expected to commercialize, and what kind of capacity addition would that do? And let's say if we had a capacity today of X, what is the peak revenue that can be attained from it?
So we are at around 62% capacity utilization in our oral solids. That is the number that we reached in FY25.
Okay, and what can be the peak utilization, Komin?
Peak utilization, you're asking. So as we mentioned, with the current plant, we would be able to deliver 800 plus in terms of revenue, and okay. By that time, once we have plant 6 ready, we should be ready for oral solids, about 1,000 PR revenue to be delivered from the addition as well. So in total, 1,000 PR, once plant 6 is done, we would be ready to deliver 1,000 PR revenue in oral solids, a size of injectables of about 90 crores.
And when is it expected to commercialize, plant 6?
We are trying, within FY26, it should be ready.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Singhal from Perpetuity. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, I had a question one, just a bookkeeping on exports. If I look at your last 2-3 years of export sales and I match up with the third-party agency Volza data, it pretty much hits the bang on. But this year, Volza shows a significantly higher number versus what you ended up reporting, almost like a 9-10 odd crores kind of a difference. So is there something like, is it a catch-up that happens next financial year, or is just an abrasion on that side? I'm not sure whether you guys follow the data or not. So some clarity on that will help, because I was expecting that that catch-up happens this quarter, but your run rate is pretty much equal to what you did on third quarter. So just wanted to get some sense around that.
So I think, in our export revenue, we have, two kinds of revenues, right? One is when we are, of course, shipping product. And then second is if, we are doing some exhibit batches for a customer, which is an export customer, right? So that becomes a service revenue, which probably you won't see in external data. But I think also, Abhishekji, there will always be some timing differences and things, because for us, revenue recognition requires bill of lading, right? I don't know how the data portal is, saying the export-import data portals are, capturing that. Hard to comment on that.
Okay, no worries. So secondly, aapka jo trade generics, your business around trade generics, if I look at your last 5 years kind of a growth, it's roughly around 40% kind of a CAGR. And if I reflect back to your comment earlier in the call, that there is no reason for you not to aspire to the levels where your large cap peers today are. That means, the size that you were like 5 years back and the size in the overall size of the opportunity is pretty much, negligible. So size should not be a constraint when we start extrapolating growth as we go forward. So I'm not asking you for your next year, 2 years. So for the last 5 year CAGR, and if you look at your next 5 year CAGR, why should it be lower than what you have delivered, apart from the size angle? Because if your earlier statement is right, that should not kind of, stack up with that. So I just want to get a sense, what can get your trade generic growth lower in the next 5 years versus your earlier 5 years?
So, see, Abhishekji, I believe that this is a, an execution story, right? Because I don't think, people are facing the, when size increases, it's not a structural issue. It's purely about, how do you put in the, or management systems, the, motivational systems, the talent management, all of those things need to line up to give a chance for execution to happen, right? So this is something that we have to be very cognizant, and we are obviously always thinking about this. Structurally, my sense is that it will. We actually feel that more and more if you see the number of hospital beds, for example, that is growing in India today, the number of hospital beds that are growing in the non-metro areas. So there is a huge, they are growing because there is demand, and that consumption of health services is reaching to the levels of population where it was not reaching earlier. And so my sense is that new markets, new people are getting unlocked, new people are getting healthcare, new cases are being diagnosed with chronic as well as, things people are having the money to get the treatment. All those things are improving. So the question will be how we grow in this through our proper execution. Structurally, I feel that there can be obviously quarter wise variations, but my sense is that one has to figure out and navigate through that.
Sorry, sir, and just one last question around margins, if I may squeeze.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Abhishek.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin from Green Capital Single Family Office. Please proceed.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Nitin Shakdar from the Green Capital Single Family Office. So my question is more towards Komal. Not as an analyst, but more as an investor. Now, you hold two positions. One is the CEO and the CFO position. Is there a thought within the management that at some point in time, you tend to open an important position like a CEO and gravitate more towards, because both portfolios are extremely important for a growing company like Vintas? Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
So, in fact, the CEO position is what stays extremely important and critical for me, and that's how the management looks at it. CFO position, in fact, we had opened a position for CFO, and we were looking for a lot of candidates, but net ultimately what happened is something didn't work out. We had issued a few offer letters as well, but when we did the analysis internally, it was actually a call was taken given how we were able to strengthen the overall balance sheet even alongside of CEO role, and with our accounts and finance team being that solid. So we thought that, in terms of priority, right now it does not, it's not the top priority for us. So we actually hold that position, and given how we have been able to deliver, nobody wants to change anything. If in future something happens which takes up more of my bandwidth, we might reconsider that there is no hard and fast decision that has happened internally. We stay open to both. But as of now, if you ask me, we are doing quite well in both areas.
Okay. My second question is in reference to the investor presentation. This is slide 34 of 36, consolidated balance sheet. There is just a clarification which I want to check. Now, your cash and bank balances are reducing from FY 2023-24-25, and I see that there is an increase in inventory and investments and trade receivables. Now, when it comes to investments, can you quantify as to where the 223 crores investments are broadly, because these are financial investments, I would assume.
Yeah, so these are liquid funds, mutual fund investments that are there, and fixed deposits. So, net, if you ask me broadly, in fact, we can give the breakup. Hold on.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
So, in fact, about 16 crores we have in fixed deposit, more than 220 crores in mutual fund, and so broadly.
The choice of the funds and the banks is also governed by a policy for us, which is a board approved policy, and we only stay limited in those kind of assets.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Kothari from PI Square Investments. Please proceed.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the FY25 successfully completed. I joined call a bit late, but just wanted to get a quick update on this injectable business, first thing. And the second thing, how exactly we are navigating from here forward.
I have actually, this was one of the first questions that we had, and we sort of extensively shared the update. What I can say additionally is that we remain very positive. We believe it is the future, and how exactly it will pan out, which quarters we will get there, how much will be the bottom line, top line, those are things that unfortunately we are not able to share. But that doesn't mean that we don't have internal targets for business development teams, the productivity teams, production teams, everything. Those are all established and being tracked, and we are on the job to try to reach break-even and then exceed and bring in the benefit of this new dosage form to the company.
I'm not expecting any sort of numbers from you guys. Just wanted to understand what's the current status on the plant front and how exactly are we expecting having a eventual commercialization of the product that we are right now talking from injectables.
Actually, I had explained this earlier in the call. We had started the year with the lines being ready. We identified the product portfolio in discussions with our customers and looking at the market volume data. We took the exhibit batches of these formulations after developing them in-house. And then taking those batches, we generated the stability data, and most of these products have now are in different stages of stability, and some have been commercialized also. So the work that is involved in creating the right portfolio, going through the right steps in terms of regulatory, quality, production, all have been successfully taking place one by one, and that's sort of the update that we have shared already.
Do we have any contribution from the injectables on our top line right now?
Yes, we also shared in the beginning of the call that last year we had 6 crores in injectable sales. And that was primarily, in Q4.
Okay. Thank you so much for the update. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Samarth Nagpal from Suranu Family Office. Please proceed.
Hi, Hitesh, Komal. Congratulations on a great year. Most of the questions have been answered. Just wanted to understand one thing. On the trade generics business, what is the kind of structure we have, and how do we penetrate the market, and how do we scale it up? So if you could just give some idea around it, because just wanted a fair bit of clarity in how many states are we present and what is our team structure like, so that we are able to maintain our working capital also and gain market traction.
Sure. See, first of all, the market structure is very, very distributed. So for example, I've spoken about in the past also that currently we are catering to about close to 1,000 stockists or distributors. And if we are to cover the whole of India from an opportunity perspective, then we have to go to somewhere like 5,000, 6,000 stockists. In fact, the larger guys will have even more. So the structure, therefore, and you cannot really build a sales force to cover each stockist like in branded generics people do. So it has to be a manpower light model. However, in some cases where there is room and there is opportunity, then you do have to add people. So you have to be more geography specific. So like, for example, in UP, there are districts, which one district has like 2,000 villages. There is huge geographic spread. You can't have zero manpower, but you cannot also not have a very high manpower. So you have to take the staffing decisions based on the local needs of that area, and then obviously choose the stockist also correctly, and then have the right terms and the right discipline of working with them, so that you don't have problems in day-to-day working. So the structure is designed from ground up, keeping this in perspective, whether it is on the IT system side, whether it is on the sales team selection and appointment, whether it is in their incentivization structure, even from the perspective of sales promotion, what kind of schemes that are developed for those stockists to engage with us and increase business with us. All of this is designed ground up. Now, I will also tell you that it's not a one-size-fits-all strategy. So what we have to do in UP is very different from what we do in, let us say, in Karnataka or in Maharashtra. Even the kind of products that are being sold in these geographies becomes different because of the prevailing nature of, let us say, poverty and the kind of disease profile that is faced by the target population. So we have to go sort of and design not by our own view of how it should be, but what is the most efficient way to target the local opportunity. And that's how we are building it.
Got it, Hitesh. I think that really explains well the entire ecosystem, because what idea I had was that it is very easy to enter the markets, have the stockists and everything, but how do you ensure that in the hinterlands your product is actually selling, the right product is there, and the sales are actually converting, the product placement is right. So that really explains it well and should help us scale further also. Hitesh, just one minor question. On our employee expenses, I think we had that minimum wage criteria last year. So is it fair to assume that this year the amount of capex we are doing, or whatever the team size be, the employee expenses should streamline? I mean, there would not be a major bump up in that. Is it fair to assume that?
So at least, whatever increase in costs will be there in terms of the increments on the existing employees.
Capitalized.
We will have
basic manpower on machineries, but there we don't expect a huge bump like we had versus FY24 in FY. That's fair to say.
Yeah, and
minimum wage also, I hope now this year there will be no increase coming in.
Right. And our employee cost also has our ESOP costs in there, so that
non-cash item
might.
I think that's fair enough. I think thank you, Hitesh and Komal, and I think it's been a great performance, and it's lovely to see the way we are managing the business. So happy to be a shareholder also. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I take the next question, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Sarthak Kothari from Bull's Eye. Please proceed. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sarthak. Could you please come closer to the device?
I think we cannot hear the question at all. The audio was very broken. May I ask the moderator to request the questioner again?
Yes. Right. Sartha, could you please rejoin through the queue? We'll take the next question. We take the next question from the line of Aniket Nikum from ABN Capital. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, hi. Firstly, congratulations on a good set of numbers and the progress you've done over the last 2 years. It's been really good to see that play out. I had two questions then. First question was, you've sort of said that with our current capacity and the new plant on the oral solid side, we can go to, say, call it 1,000 plus odd crores. And in that context, obviously, we've accumulated, I think, around, call it 215 odd crores of cash, right, with each year of significant cash generation. So just wanted maybe a little bit of your folks' view on how are you thinking about the capital allocation here. I know you've mentioned a little bit before about inorganic opportunities and so on. So what's the thought process there? Do you think you want to do some organic capex, or what other opportunities are you looking at as you evaluate?
So Aniket, as we have been maintaining, we want to expand dosage form-wise. We keep exploring several options for this, for M&A, as you rightly mentioned. If we get an opportunity which fits in properly, synergic fit, we would go ahead and do that. As you also mentioned, we have sufficient cash in place and debt-taking capability is also there. So there is no restriction in terms of, size. However, if we don't find something that, where we don't have to do the job of making business good, we can do and go for organic capex. However, that we would take once injectables business is stabilized, doesn't need, mainly our bandwidth, so that then we can actually look at building a good facility and also building a business there. That's the plan in terms of capital allocation. In terms of dividend, we hope to continue to always, pay the dividends as per the policy of 20% of profits, unless there is, there is any specific. So we don't see a reason to make an exception to it. So that's broadly the plan. And the capex for Plant 6 during this year in FY26, which has to happen, that will happen.
Okay, got it. No, that's helpful. Other than the bookkeeping question, can you quantify what is the...
Hello. Could you please return to the question queue as there are several participants waiting for their turn.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I would like to remind participants that you may limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Karthik from Suyash Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon. I hope I am audible. The two parts to my question on the trade generics business. One is, can you share the current split of your business in terms of acute versus chronic, and how do you see that evolving over a period of time? And the second has to do with the distribution that you spoke about. Would it help partnering with somebody like a MedPlus, who has a large chain, or somebody who is an online seller? Would that help you accelerate your growth profile and economics, of course? So, two parts to my question.
In terms of chronic, we have largely remained similar. Whatever changes there are there.
So 60-40 is so chronic and subchronic, around 60% and acute 40%.
Right.
That stays the...
Yeah, and sorry, we could not very clearly hear your second part of the question. Could you please...
I was saying, how would this evolve over the next 3 year period? Would you see an increase in the chronic profile by any chance? And second part is on the distribution strategy. I was asking you, would it help partnering with somebody like a MedPlus who has a large reach, or an online seller who may be able to carry you into these hinterlands, and whether the economics would be reasonable for that? That's the question.
MedPlus is definitely a partner already with us because they, are a CMO, a customer for us. They have their white label products which they get manufactured from us. And we always look at, all these partnerships of, you know, which can help us. Sometimes they come in the form of customers wanting to get their brands manufactured, when it will be a CDMO. We normally, you know, the hinterland market or the rural market has not had very strong even e-pharmacy kind of penetration. And you know, while we've placed product and it has not really moved as much. So mostly the offline channel that dominates in the, you know, smaller towns and villages. That remains, and we are always open for more and more, you know, broadening of this channel. And as, you know, more organized retailers come in, this will again become an opportunity. So we are definitely open to exploring, and we continue to do that even now.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for answering.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Vindlas Biotech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.